Would you show me such bountiful mercy by taking the life of lamb? Your love is greater than I can imagine. I bless you with all that I am. Praise to you, Jesus. The veil has been parted, and what once was secret is known. Now I can cry to you, Abba, my Father, and praise you as one of your own. Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai.
And thank you for your tangible presence. You inhabit the praises of Israel, always watching over that word to perform it. Thank you for inhabiting our worship with your tangible presence. As we go into your word, we pray that that tangible presence, that anointing, goes with us, to enlighten us, to open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law, to strengthen our hearts and our bodies, to be doers of the things that we hear and not hearers only. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should, as an oracle of God, and put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are physically present, and those who will hear me remotely, electronically. And let your word flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart. Wills to become more humble, including mine. Minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge. Emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words, yes, and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of these things they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to faithfully deliver the word with precision, redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring now the treasure of this word, things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings mentioned in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Blessed be the name,
blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai.
In Jesus' name, you may be seated.
I thank God, Pastor Andrew, and all the minstrels, Bidemi, all the minstrels. That was a powerful ministration. I'm not a very emotional person, but as they were ministering that song, I literally felt it's not the first time this happened, the tangible presence of God. It's like a halo around my head, my hands, and I was almost weeping. You know, the Yoruba people, we have a great saying. We said, "Entuba monuru amokweda." It's a deep saying. You know, I've always said this, and I'll keep saying it. There's some connection between Yoruba and the Hebrews and the Jews. I don't fully understand it yet, but I can see it. I can see it from the Bible, and can see it from the Proverbs of our language. And I'm sure it probably is not only the Yorubas. Others too may have the same. But at least I can speak for Yorubas because I am Yoruba and I understand some of those things. The reason why you worship God and you consecrate and you give your will, your mind, your emotions, and you give your life an offering to God is because you understand what He did. Tobaronu. In our language, that means if you haven't thought deeply about what Jesus did, that is when your praise and your consecration will be shallow. If you really understand and appreciate what Jesus came to do for us, nobody will be telling you to be consecrated. Nobody will be begging you to give your body as a living sacrifice. You will do it willingly. The Apostle Paul understood this. And that's why he penned those magnificent words, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, if all were dead, if one died for all, then were all dead, that they which live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and raised him from the dead. You know, most Christians, sadly, they don't appreciate these things. And I believe it's because they haven't... The word to keoronu in Yoruba, that means to think. The Hebrew equivalent and the English equivalent would be to meditate. They don't think deeply on the things of redemption. Sadly, it's very sad, you know, and it hurts God. You know, God is a person. People don't understand that. God has feelings and He can be hurt. He said so, and the Bible says He grieved Him at His heart. You know, there are things that really grieve God, you know, that, you know, especially when people don't reciprocate, you know, to the degree to which God has gone out of His way to reach us. I was weeping when they were singing that song. How can I, a stranger of nations, who are we, Gentiles, become a part of the royal line and be grafted into the vine? You don't know what it means. You've become a part of the covenant of God. I have a Jewish friend. I met him through another friend recently. If I just emailed me a few days ago, I sent him a New Year message, you know, greeting. So he emailed me back. He calls me. He said, "You're my brother." Because a month or two, 3 months ago, you know, I hadn't called him. So I called him, said, "I apologize. I said, look, I should have been back in contact with you and all of that." His name is Judah. That's his first name. You know, I used to call him Mr. something. He said, "Call me Judah." He said, "I'm your brother." And I said to him, "Do you know that all Christians are brethren to the Jews?" He said, "Yeah." He grew up in America. He lives now between New York and Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. You know, he has business in Israel, and he's American. You know, but he's Jewish. So he said to me, he said, "No." I said, "It's in the New Testament." Apparently, he didn't know that scripture. I said, "If ye be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and earth. He said, what? I said, yes. Every Christian is Jewish. They just don't know it. Or accept it. We are. We're not biological Jews, but we're spiritual Jews. Jesus has grafted us into the vine. He's made us a partaker of the royal life. Not only are you Jewish, you have been grafted into the lineage of David. The dynasty of David. For Christ is the son of David. And because we are in Christ, we now too are sons of David. And that blessing goes right back to Abraham. But God didn't stop there. He now gave us a better testament, established upon better promises. You don't know who you are. If you knew who you are, you wouldn't live the way you live. You won't talk the way you talk. You won't act the way you act. That's the reason I'm going to share this message. Pastor Laolu, when he was making the announcements, he talked on this. On Wednesday, I taught on the narrow, you know, the straight and narrow way. And God says, it's not enough. That's what I'm to preach this Sunday. The narrow way of life. And it, you know, even though I didn't plan this because they chose the songs, Pastor Andrew chose the song, I just said, yeah, this is okay. You know, the song just dovetails into this truth. The reason why you will accept the narrow way is because you know the price that was paid for you. When you go the broad way, you are unappreciative. You don't understand what was done for you. You don't understand what has been made available to you. So you treat it with levity. You treat it with... And there are lots of people like that. You know, the good thing about God is that God is so wise that when he was going to make us in his image and in his likeness, he made us, because he was going to make us in his image, he had to give us a free will. So that means that there was a possibility we could misuse it. So he made provision for it. That was why Christ was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But he told me this many years ago, and although it's not in my notes, but I'll share it with you. He said, it's one of the reasons why I designed the tabernacle. Many Christians, you know, if you don't know your Jewish roots, you can't understand your Christianity. Your depth, the depth of your understanding would be very shallow. The tabernacle, and then later on the temple, was a place of worship God designed. But he didn't make it on earth. He made it in heaven. It was already created. You know, after he made the angels and all of that, and the plan of redemption, just before Jesus came. All that thing was already in heaven, constructed by design, by built by angels and all of that. So he now gave Moses, he took him up to the mountain and gave him the vision. So he said, now go and build a tabernacle. He said, and build it according to the pattern that was shown you in the mount. And you know what he did? He created three components, three sections. It's deliberate, Pastor G. Very deliberate. Knowing people. Knowing what people could do with their free will. Knowing that they could misuse it. And not wanting to send a large number of people to hell. God is good. So he created an outer court that is very big. Then he created a holy place that is smaller. Then he created a most holy place that is even smaller. The thing God really wanted was everybody to be in the most holy place. But he knows that they may not. Just like he knew that they may fall. So he made Jesus die for us. So he said, okay, those who want to worship afar off, let them be in the outer court. But it's their choice. Those who want to be a little bit closer to me, let them be in the holy place. But it's their choice. And those who want to be in the most holy place, let them be in the most holy place. It's their choice. It's all our choices. You're a God, you know. Elohim. That's what it is in Hebrew. In Hebrew it says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Then when God made us, he made us Elohim. That's why Jesus said, I said, ye are. The Greek, the Hebrew is Elohim. It's your choice. While you're here on earth, you make a choice. The choices you make will determine whether you're going to be in the holy place, whether you're going to be the most holy place, whether you're going to be the outer court. That's the broad way. That looks easy, but it's actually the hard way. And you know what? Sadly, majority, that's where they choose. That's why it's big. They'll be there. They'll see God, though. Once every year during the Feast of Tabernacles, but from afar. They'll be in heaven. You know, I've shared this revelation before. These are things that we need to preach more and more because most of us are earthly minded. We're not heavenly minded. Go and check in the book of, don't go there, I'll just tell you. First Kings, when Solomon was praying to dedicate the temple, he said, what house are we going to build for you? Watch this. He said, the heavens, even the heavens of heaven. So, everybody say heavens. So, there's not one heaven. It's like story building. Like, it's not exactly, but you know. You're in heaven, but you're not in a particular kind of heaven. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Different kinds. Different kinds. The choices you make here on earth will determine the heavens you're going to reside in. You know, you'll be in heaven. You won't go to hell. You'll be fine. But he will know you from afar off. That's why you need to take particular attention to this message. If eternity means anything to you. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14, that's what I will start with. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. You know the priority we put on spiritual things many times is so low because we don't appreciate the price Christ paid and the great honor and privileges God has made us partakers of. But I'm trusting God that by some of these messages, the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. So you will know who you are and what has been the price that was paid. And what is it that I may apprehend that for which I also have been apprehended. That means that I may grasp it, that I may experience it. So it won't waste in my own case. Because everybody has an individual destiny to fulfill. I can't fulfill your destiny for you. I can show you how I'm fulfilling my own, and you can copy my example, you know, so and then go and apply what you've learned in your own life. But I can't do it for you. Every man will carry his own burden. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many, the Greek is majority. That's what I was saying when I was talking about the tabernacle. Be they that go in there. Again, you know, the usual Christian, traditional, outer court understanding. We think he's talking about unbelievers. Ah, Jesus is the way. So Jesus is the way is narrow. And then, you know, broad is the way. This one is going to hell. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to unbelievers. Because straight, verse 14, is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. That word life there is Zoe. And few there be. That's why the holy place, the most, is small. And the outer court is large. I don't know about you. When I made up my mind, I made it up when I was a 21-year-old boy, by the grace and the mercy of God. This thing, I'm going 100%. You see, I made that decision when I began to understand what Jesus did and what he made available to us. Let's give E.W. Kenyon a super clap offering. That God used that man, his books, to open my eyes. Of course, I was, you know, praying in tongues and all of those things, walking in love, which I learned from Kenneth Hagin, First Corinthians. But by reading Kenyon's books, I began to understand who we are in Christ and what God has made available to us. You know what God did? I just say it in this one way. He made us as close to himself as God himself could make it. Oh, you didn't get that. You know how great God is and how wise and powerful he is. So he, in Christ, he has made us as close to God as it is possible for God to make it. Without, there is no way he could make us God because we are not there in the beginning. So he took out from himself. Then he made us to be as close to God as God himself could make it. That's why we are partakers of the divine nature. You know what that means? Exactly what it says. We have access to omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. We're not intrinsically, only the three persons of Godhead are intrinsically. But because of our relationship and our connection with him, even though I don't know everything, I have access to knowing anything I need to know. Because he that knows everything has not hidden anything from me. So if I need it, he will just transmit that information to me instantly. So even though I am not omniscient, I have access to omniscience. Even though I am not omnipotent, I have access to omnipotence. Even though I am not omnipresent, I have access to omnipresence. If you understood what I said, give the Lord a clap offering. Stand to your feet. Stand here. If you understood it. A man. A created being. Then God says, everything that the three persons are, you have access to it. So now, you know our problem. We haven't seen people who are demonstrating it. Something is going to happen when the glory begins to manifest. People will wake up and suddenly get serious. Some will be able to make it. Some may be too late. Because they are, like I shared during the watch night service, said, let them grow together. They made the choice to be tares. God didn't choose this one is going to be wheat, this one is going to be tares. That's choice of everybody. He said, and you know, at the end he said they will remove them. They'll go to heaven, though, some of them. Some may go to hell, but very few. You know, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell as much as possible. Except those who are willfully rebellious. You know, but generally speaking, but they will suffer loss. That's why they'll be crying. Can you imagine people be crying in heaven? I've always wondered about that. But I say, and God will wipe away their tears. They'll be crying at the regret of what they could have had if they had just listened. I'm going to say this in a funny way to Pastor Olubi. But that's not just me, you know. But if they had just listened when they were on earth,
whether to Pastor Obi or to Kenneth Hagin or to Wigo or all the other great men, John Wesley, that are over all of us. We're not saying anything different. It's the same message. But while we're here on earth, our hearing is many times is dull. Paul said so, Hebrews chapter 5. We're dull of hear. We don't hear. We can't, we don't see. We don't see beyond our nose. All we see is, you know, this material blessing and this life. I like the Apostle Paul. He says, if in this life only. I said it in Yoruba deliberately. What are you joking with? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If all I'm fasting and praying for is only for what I'm going to get in this. If I'm fasting and praying just to get a G-Wagon or to get Range Rover or to have a house in Agodi, man, I didn't need to fast and pray for that. The guys who already had that without fasting and praying. If that is the reason why I'm doing all my fasting and praying, I am a big fool. And I am of all men most miserable. That is why you need to choose this narrow way. Now, let's define them. The narrow way is the way of self-denial of food, sleep, talking. I have a confession we're going to use at the end. You know, in our general, in our love confessions, there's one confession of on self-denial. Then in our general confessions, there's one confession of being a vessel of honor. We're going to look at the two of them by the time we close. You know, that's where I extracted some of these things from. It's a way of self-denial of food. Talking about fasted life. Sleep. Getting up in the third watch, in the fourth watch. Talking. And other lawful, though not expedient activities. To give more time to prayer and the word. For spiritual excellence. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm talking about the narrow way. Everybody say the narrow way. And it's not legalism. You see, this thing has been taught upside down over the years. So it's made it so unattractive. You know, don't use perfume. I remember when we got born again back in the late 70s, early 80s. If you are going to go the narrow way, you know, you can't wear this kind of shirt I'm wearing. You'll be causing sisters to lust. That's all we were taught. Stupidity. Real stupidity. You know, you can't wear this. You can't look at, you can't, you know, use anything nice and something because it's worldly. It's a complete mis- Jesus used perfume. Fuck. What's wrong with you? Yes. He said, anoint thyself. This woman, Mary, she put perfume on his head. All you do is you don't know anything about God. Just use perfume. Psalm 45 says, all thy garments. Jesus, he was always looking good. Always. The only time he looked bad was on the cross. That was deliberate. Even the clothes he was wearing that day was so expensive, the soldiers decided not to tear it. And they cast lots for it. We completely misrepresent the God we're supposed to serve. This narrow way has nothing to do with legalism. It's self-denial. And that's the one we don't want to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you're still on my side, give me a wave offering. Yeah, I don't like these kind of messages, but... Pastor Olubi, can't you just, this is a new year, just preach something that will bless us. I'm preaching what is going to bless you. But I have to tell you the truth. The road to blessing is narrow.
The real blessing. Thank you, Pastor Ibrahim. All things are lawful for me. Listen to a man who knows, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who the gospel was not taught to him. It came to him by revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's give the Apostle Paul a super clap offering. What a guy. Where would we be without Paul? All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, I'm not going to be addicted to anything on this earth. As much as I love Pele and I love football, football can never take my place of prayer. Lai. That's what I mean. And I still watch football. We shouted ourselves hoarse on the day of the final. Myself, Pastor Boyega, and Pastor Cooley, and some of the other pastors who were all shouting. We enjoyed it. You understand? So there's nothing wrong in, you know, but I don't do that every day. I don't do that every Sunday. Even that day I prayed. I had a ministration that night. There are witnesses. After the football, I prayed. Then I came here, I prayed. Remember, we all prayed there for about one, because they didn't start on time. Remember, we all prayed about 1.5 to 2 hours. So it's not wrong, you know, watching the football. But it must never take the place of prayer. That's our problem. All things are lawful. Football is lawful. Doing your hair is lawful. Should I go there? 2-3 hours doing the hair. It's lawful. But is it expedient? I'm not saying you shouldn't do your hair. I'm not saying you shouldn't use makeup. I'm not saying you shouldn't look nice. But when it starts going to the time of prayer, then we got a problem. That's what our brain was trying to teach, but went to the extreme of legalism. Don't use gold. Don't use earring. Don't use lipstick. If you use lipstick, you're Jezebel. Do you hear that? Stupidity. That's not what the Bible said at all. By the time we finish, by the grace of God, you'll have better understanding. The narrow way is the way of self-denial, of food, sleep. All things are lawful, but not all things. I will not be brought under the power of any. Meat, he's now talking about food in particular. For the belly for meat, God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Paul is talking, he said, look, it's everything is lawful. It's okay to do everything. He said, but many times you have to deny yourself, even though it's lawful, even though it's not wrong, you deny yourself so that you can consecrate more to God. That's the narrow way. That's why it's narrow. So you can't do everything every other person does. Let me be particular. You cannot do everything people who are not born again do. Then you cannot even do everything some Christians do. I can't do everything the outer court Christian wants to do. I can't do everything the holy place Christian wants to do if I want to be a most holy place Christian. So I will look strange to 3 sets of people. The unbeliever, the outer court Christian, and the holy place Christian. And they'll say I'm mad. It was Kenneth Copeland who said, you know, a fanatic is just somebody who loves God more than you do. That's a fanatic. Yeah, I am. Somebody said to me, how can you pray in tongues for 5 hours every day? Isn't that weird? I said, no, it's not weird at all. It's normal. It's you who's weird. How can you not pray for long? You're the weird one. First Corinthians chapter 9. We're talking about the narrow way. Everybody say the narrow way. Glory be to God. Look at verses 24 through 27. Another clap offering for Paul. I don't know. Thank God for Paul. He's likening the Christian life to a race. We just finished the World Cup, you know, and the Olympics. You know how athletes train? Serious athletes. If you want to get, you know, this last World Cup showed up something that we've always known. Those of you who know a little bit about football, you know, and it's not only football, it's any sport. Apart, you must have skill. You know how to play the game. But you must also have strength. Thank you. You must also have stamina. Those things, they're not sold on the market shelf. It takes discipline and practice and practice. You know what showed up in this World Cup? The teams that had learned to develop stamina and resilience, by the time they got into extra time, they were not tired. The other guy may be more skillful, but by extra time he's tired, the other guy is going to win. When they're playing penalties. I don't like penalties, but it happens sometimes. It's true. I was talking to, it was Josh Olubi and Kashokwe, my brother's son. You know, my brother, we're all gisting in Lagos just a few days ago. So I said there are three things that characterize a good footballer. Skill, strength, and speed. Skill, you can have that one naturally. Even that one, you increase it by practice. Then strength, that's what you have to exercise. You have to, you know, speed, you have to exercise. If you don't, even a guy who is less skillful than you will defeat you because he has better strength and he has better skill and better speed. You can, instead of trying to dribble four or five people, you can beat five defenders by a correct pass. You just pass through them. Then there's somebody with speed. He will connect it. Then he will score a goal that is made in Brazil. There was one goal we saw during this World Cup. Kunle said, "Pastor, that goal is made in Brazil." I said, "I agree." You know, just by one pass. Ha! But if the guy didn't have strength and skill, he wouldn't be able to connect that ball. So what am I saying? If you're going to strive for the masteries in the natural now, the guys, when they're in camp, when they're preparing for World Cup, even their wives cannot come and see them. It's as strict as that. It's your legitimate wife that you married. Not a concubine. They will not, during camp, they quarantine them. Quarantine them. Why? Because if you start sleeping with your wife, you're going to mess around on the field. You're going to lose physical strength. So in the preparation for the matches, you know, during the time they camp, they put them in a camp. They're not allowed, no women are allowed to come, you know, and men for the women who play football, you know. Then the diet is special. They eat a special diet. They get up 5 o'clock in the morning and do road work. The coach will come. Everybody comes out, you know. Then they begin to run. They're building stamina. They're building because they know the price. Because if you don't do that, when you get on the field and the other guys have practiced more than you and have more stamina than you, they will just pass you out into extra time. By that time, you'll be tired. Then they will beat you. So it is in the Christian life. That is the picture the Apostle Paul is trying to paint here. You know what he says? He says, every man, verse 24, know ye not that way which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Ask your neighbor, how are you running your Christian life? Are you running to obtain the prize of the high calling of Christ in Christ Jesus? Or are you just running, sha? Some are just running, sha. In our language, for those who are living from abroad, you know, running, sha just means they're just running without purpose, without direction. Just running. But they have no goal. They have no purpose in front of them. That's different in Paul and the other guys. Paul said, I press toward the mark. He was running to obtain. Now, the good news about this thing, I must mention this in passing, is that in the Christian life, you're not running in competition with any other person. See, I can get the prize of the high calling. You can get the prize. A million of us can get the prize of the high calling. So it's not as if, if I get the prize, then Kaode won't get his own prize. So you're in the Christian life, it is never a run in competition with your brother or your sister. It's a run in competition with time. You're not running against in competition with any other Christian. That is why they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You are running in competition against time because the years are going. You're going to start getting older. If you don't finish, you know, where you should finish and you die, you will go to heaven, but you will suffer loss. You need to understand that. You need to understand that. Thank you. One amen. I'm going for Pastor Wale. Hello? So run. Everybody, open your mouth. That you may obtain. Don't just run, sha. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. The word temperate means self-controlled. In all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we an incorruptible crown. I'm not going to get a gold medal. An Olympic gold medal that I'm going to put in my house that will rust after some years. Or a World Cup that we're just going to put in a cabinet in Aso Rock or wherever the government's offices. Everybody just come and look at that. After some years, it will just, you know, that's what they're doing it for. I'm going to do it for a crown of glory that fadeth not away. It's an eternal, is worth any price I pay. If guys in the natural, we pay look at Messi and how they did that on the World Cup. I was happy for him. You know, he thought he wasn't going to make it. Especially when they lost that game against Saudi Arabia. You know, he could not believe God just had mercy on them. And, you know, and they got the cup. You know, they were kissing the World Cup. Which is okay. You know, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, look at the price they paid in terms of discipline and self-denial and everything. But the one we are going to get is an eternal crown. He says, that fadeth not away. You're not going to lose it after 10 million years. You're not going to lose it after 10 billion years. You're not going to lose it after 100 billion years. You're not going to lose it after 1 trillion years. Ad infinitum. You can take it. I will pay anything for it. I think, you know, we need this kind of, this is the true motivational message. This is what you motivate your Christian life. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run. I didn't hear you. Not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. I'm not wasting energy. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Subjection to what? Subjection to the life of God that is in my spirit. Subjection to the dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy. I keep under my body. I mean, lest by any means. This man was a great man. When I have preached to others, me, Paul, that's making noise. Me, Paul, that's read Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians. Then I now be, you know, disapproved. The word cast away there is not hell. It's not cast away from Christ. It means the Greek word is disapproved. Imagine when we get to heaven and then people like, you know, Epaphras and Timothy begin to get bigger reward than Paul. It could have happened. That's what he was talking about. He said, hey, I keep under my body, I bring you something, lest after I preach to Timothy, and I preach to Epaphras, and I preach to Gaius, and all these other great guys, Priscilla and Aquila. Now, when we now get to heaven, you know, they get the prize of high calling, and I don't get it. And as I'm saying about Paul, I'm talking to Olubi Johnson too. Imagine after all this, you know, my mouth is sweet. They say that man, he speaks English, his phoné is very good. All that will not get me any price. I'm serious. I can speak all nice revelation and all of that. Then we get to heaven and I don't get the price of high calling. Be ashamed. So I keep under my body. And I bring it into subjection to the kingdom of God. Subjection to righteousness. Subjection to peace. Subjection to joy. I fill this body with the life of God so that I will not be disapproved. It's a reality. If Paul could be, he was not. Thank God. That's why he said, I have finished my course. I've run the race. Hence, so he made it. You know? But if he didn't take heed to himself, you know, it could have happened. You know, Jesus himself warned us about these things. You know what he said? I was reading in my Bible recently. He said, many that are last shall be first. He said, and the first shall be last. See, any man here has an ear to hear. He gave this parable. He said, a householder, he went out, he hired some people at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he agreed with them to give them 1 penny for the whole day. Then he got some at 9 o'clock in the morning. Then he got some at 12 noon. Then he got some at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then he got the last batch at 5 o'clock in the evening. They were going to clock out at 6 o'clock in the evening. So when everybody had finished working, they all now came to get their wages. So he now gave to the guys who worked for 1 hour, only 5 to 6, he gave them 1 penny. Then the guys who had been working since 6 o'clock in the afternoon, morning rather, who had been working for 12 hours, he also gave them 1 penny. They got angry. Yeah, I said, what's wrong with you? Is it not my money? Did we not agree for 1 penny? He said, I've given to you, you know, what we agreed on. Is your eye evil? It's actually in the Bible. Because I am good. He said, for many are called and few are chosen. He said, he that hath an ear. He said, for many who are started first will end last. And some who started last will end first. What that means in practice is this. There are people who get born again earlier, but instead of finishing in the most holy place first and getting the prize of high calling, they finish in the outer court. And then there's other people who get born again long after them, who were last, and they finish in the most holy place. The people were not paid for how long they worked. They were paid for the quality of the work that they did. Give the Lord a clap offering. The guy who did 1 hour, what he did in that 1 hour was worth more than what the other guys did in the 12 hours. Because, you know, in that parable, you will find this. We don't have time to turn there, but I'll take it from me. It's in the Bible. He says, I will pay you what is right. So he judged that the 1 hour of that guy was equivalent to the 12 hours of the other guy, the 9 hours of the other people, the 6 hours of the other people, the 3 hours of the other people. Mercy. Mercy. I'm not done yet. How many people still love me? Give me a wave offering. The narrow way is a way of self-denial. That's why it's narrow. You can't just do what everybody does. You can't eat the way they eat. Yes. You can't sleep the way they sleep. You can't talk the way they talk. And they think you're crazy. Paul said so. He said, if we be crazy, use the word, you know, if we be, he said, it is to God. It's not your business. That's a little bit translation. He says, for we thus judge. Another clap offering for Paul. That if one died for all, then we're all dead. That they which live should no longer. That's why I'm living the way I'm living. If you think I'm mad, that's your business. Not your business. That's why it is straight. That's why it's narrow. So I can't watch all the films they watch. All the entertainments and the pleasures of this life, you know, that other people indulge in, I could, because it's not unlawful. It's lawful. But because it's not expedient spiritually, I deny myself from them. Therefore, the way of my life is narrow. But it is the way that leads to Zoe. The life of God. And not just in the spirit, in the soul, in the body. But most people don't want to pay that price. I got it all written here. I said it on Wednesday. The narrow way, on the surface, looks like the hard way. And the broad way on the surface looks like the easy way. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The narrow way is actually the easy way. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. The people who go the narrow way, they have grace and mercy in abundance to make the yoke easy and the burden light. And the broad way that looks easy is going to be the very hard way. Because as you move on that way, you're going to come against all kinds of obstacles that you will not have sufficient grace and mercy to overcome. And you know, I've been around now as a Christian for 43 years. I got born again in 1979. 44 now, in 2023. You know? And I can look at my life. And I look at the life of some of my friends and people, even born again Christians, who've taken the broad way. And some of them who are not even born again, or they got born again later on. I can see what looked like the easy way was actually the hard way. And my own that looked like the hard way was actually the easy way. So you young people, 20 years old and under, and even those who are, you know, under 40, you know, you can make that adjustment now. Even over 40 self. You know, I preached a message, Pastor Wale serializes in the Daily Rhema recently, the Enoch generation. God has given an amnesty to this generation. It's a very interesting truth and study. You know, Enoch got serious with God at 65. 65! Before then, he was going the Broadway. You know, there's a place in New York called the Broadway. Another message for another day.
you know, as well, they have all the theaters and all of that. You don't want to live on Broadway as a Christian. You want to go narrow way. All right. So, you know, 65. Abraham got to know God at 75. Moses got to know God at 80. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's never too late. What God looks is the heart. If you make up your mind, even at 80, and say, God, I just got a fax. Or is it a tweet? Whichever technology you opt for. Anybody who is elderly, I'm talking about, I don't consider myself to be elderly. I'm only 63. People are 70, 80 above. I have a word of wisdom, of advice, I should call it for you. If you spent your life in pleasures and the things of the world, but now you now accept Christ and you get born again, these next, you may have, actually you can have as long as you like, 10, 15, 20 years. Don't waste it. I just got a word for you. Be like Anna and Simeon. You're not going to work anymore. You're already retired. Hello? Yes. Many people, you know, they're living either on their pension or their children are looking after them. So you're not. What are you doing with your time? Be like Anna and Simeon. They did not depart from the temple, which can be your physical body. But serve God with fasting. Use these as, okay, I may have made mistakes in the years before, but now, let me spend these next 15, 20, 30 years that I have left. I'm going to spend it in prayer and fasting. And God will see to it that you will not see death until you've seen the Lord's Christ. It's a word. You can hold fast to it. In the book of Timothy, Paul is giving instructions to Timothy about the widows. He said the younger widows refuse. He said because they will wax wanton against Christ because of the loss of the flesh, they will remarry. And some of them may even marry unbelievers. He said, if you're going to take any widow into the, because they used to support the widows. He said, it's not everybody you support. He said, those who have children who are old and have enough money to look after them, let them look after their parents. He said, that is the correct thing for them to do. He said, but a widow that is a widow indeed, 60 years old and above, who spends her time in fasting and in prayers, seeking God. He said, those are the widows you should make sure you look after. If you are elderly, and I mean 70, 80 and above, that kind of thing, spend your time now in prayer. And I'm not just talking about good men, Jesus alone, which is a very good thing. You start with that. But during the day, what are you doing with your time? Pray. Read your Bible. Prayer is with the mouth. Don't even need too much physical strength. You need some, but not too much. You know, pray. You can afford to spend 5, 6, 10 hours a day praying. What are you doing? You're elderly. That's what he told them. He told those widows. He said, but he that lives in pleasure, he said, she is dead while she yet liveth. Don't indulge in the flesh and the pleasure. You know, some elderly people just use drink alcohol, you know, and just, you know, you're making a big mistake. At least try and correct the mistakes of the past. And you know, and that's why he gave us the example of Simeon and Anna. Anna was a widow from when she was only 24 or something, 7 years from her virginity. And her husband died. She didn't remarry. The Bible says she spent her days. She did not depart from the temple, but spent her time in fasting and prayer.
And God honored her. When Jesus was born, he caused her to come to the temple. She spoke of him. And then Simeon too, an elderly man. What you use your old age for, if you're not even strong enough, you can't go on missions, you can't do, you know, go out and you are home, pray! And it will be counted to you for good. He that can receive it, let him receive it. It's a word from God. Why? We now know what the narrow way is. The narrow way is easy because of mercy and grace. The broad way becomes difficult because you're going to come across problems because you're taking the broad way. The broad way is strewn with problems by its very nature. Well, you've taken the easy way, so you're going to have all kinds of problems. You won't have the spiritual strength and capacity to overcome. So you're going to find life very difficult. All kinds of obstacles. See, I look at our young people today, you know, I want to marry, and there's nothing wrong getting married. But if you know what marriage entails, the commitment, it's a blood covenant, then there are all kinds of, I can speak from experience, you know, I've been married almost 40 years, it'll be 40 years in 2026, you know, so I'm 37 years now, this year. We got married in 1986. By the grace and the mercy of God, we have children, we've got grandchildren. I know all the challenges we had. Right from the beginning, we first of all lost twin pregnancies. I told you that testimony, you know. Then Pastor Roger too lost his own baby. Then I knew it was an attack on the church. So Pastor Roger and I, we had to go and do fasting and prayer, you know, in Institute of Church and Society here. We rented a room, you know, apartment there. We're there for about 3 or 4 days. I told Pastor Roger, don't worry, God's going to help us. You know, we had it to know by that time, you know. And I prayed, you know. There was a day I prayed 18 hours, fasting and prayer. I was taking only water, you know, and maybe Sprite or something just to get some energy, you know. I didn't go out of that room, of that place. We locked ourselves up there. Nobody was coming to see us there. Our wives were not coming. Nobody was coming to see us. We spent about 3 or 4 days there, you know. I think we went on maybe Wednesday or something. On Thursday, and then came back on Saturday, something like that. You know, pray. I use live scriptures. I pray 1 hour in tongues. Live scriptures, 1 hour in tongues. I did 18 hours. I slept for only 6 hours. To the glory of God, I yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, it was after that Damilola was conceived, and she was happened to be born on, only God can arrange that, on my birthday, as a sign. What am I saying? Marriage is not just, oh, she's fine. I like him. It's like, there are all kinds of things in front. First thing is to even get the children. After the children, then you then bring them up. And bring them up in the narrow way. Oh, yes. Josh Olubi, we were joking the other day, you know, and he was telling me, he said, ah, daddy, you are hard. I said, no, I was very easy. So he said, I'm always telling this Generation Z, they call them Gen Z. These ones that were born after, Joshua was born in 1994. Gen Z is 1997. That was, so I said, it's practically the same thing. So he didn't agree with me. He said, we are better. He said, daddy, you know, they can't even take any kind of pressure. He said, compared to what you did to me. Oh, yeah. All of them. I beat all my children. All of them. Itunu, Dara, Moi, Joshua, everybody. And my children are not warped. Nothing happened to them psychologically. It's a lie! From the pit of hell. Of course, I wasn't abusive and I was loving to my children. Don't misunderstand me. There's a balance there. But I was very strict with them. When they were growing up, I gave them a good life, but I didn't spoil them. You know? And I let them know that, you know, certain things, if you do. I remember Josh Olubi, he didn't go on school trip until Form 3. I call it Form 3. I don't know what they call it now. You know, GSS, whatever. You know, his mommy told him, say, you're not going anywhere. Even though we owned the school. First year, he didn't go. Second year, he didn't go. It was until the third year he went, when he now began to behave himself sufficiently. You're not going anywhere. Sit down there. His 10th birthday. I took him to motherless baby's home. Yes. I said, we'll use the money to buy food and things for the. Let's go to motherless baby's home. So we went to motherless baby's home. So he gave him. I said, you see all of these people here? I said, you're not better than them. You just happen to be born in the kind of home you're born in. They don't have an option of Cocoa Pops and conflict. So you don't complain about conflict. You see? So you have that. Then after that, they will not enter university. Then when they finish university, they will not come out. Then they have to get a job. Then they will have to marry. All of those things, if you don't know how to pray, you're going to find obstacles. Yes. Life is a marathon. It's a marathon. All is an obstacle marathon race. As you are solving one problem, another one is looming in the horizon. As you solve that one, another one is looming in the horizon. But the good news is that you're going to overcome all of them by the mercy and the grace of God. If you take the narrow way. Amen. Am I helping anybody here? So we take the narrow way to inherit the Spirit without measure and manifest the glory of God like the Lord Jesus did. You know, John 2:11 says he manifests his glory when he turned water to wine. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, as he is, so are we in this world. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, we read it today, where Pastor Lalu was introducing the church, you know, that we may grow up into him in all things. That's the reason. That's the reason why I'm taking the narrow way. So I can grow up into him in all things. And then we read John, Mark chapter 10. I'm not going to go back there. I told you earlier on during the announcements, you know, in this lifetime, you receive 100-fold. That's why I'm taking the narrow way. For this, and then obtain the best available resurrection. So I'm playing for two prizes. I'm praying for the glory in this life, and I'm praying for the glory in the life to come. He said that, you know, that they may obtain a better resurrection. So there is a best resurrection. The resurrection of gold. A glorified body, just like Jesus's. I can go anywhere in the universe. Hallelujah. I can go to Alpha Centauri. I can go to any planet. You know, people who don't have glorified bodies can't do that. You're going to be stuck on a planet. It's all heavens. People don't understand heavens. It's in plural. See, this earth we're on now is a planet in a solar system that has what we call our sun. In astronomy, we call it a yellow star. Our star is a medium-sized star. It's not a very big star. There are bigger stars, Dr. Williams, that are 1,000 times bigger than our sun. There are others that are 1,000,000 times bigger. There are those that are 1,000,000,000 times bigger. All in different parts of the universe. This, our solar system, is a part of our galaxy, which is called the Milky Way galaxy. Our galaxy has 100 billion stars. And each of those stars have planets revolving around them. Then you've got the universe has billions of galaxies. That's what this Webb telescope, the pictures is bringing back. You see all those little things, they just look like tiny white dots. Each of those things is a galaxy. It's full. Now, he did not create it in Dahu. He came to be inhabited. after the millennial reign, God is going to repair all of those, you know. He says, this one that we have now will be, you know, destroyed by fire. Then God will create, watch this, look at the language, new heavens and a new earth. Again, heaven is not singular. So some people will be on one planet, that's where they will be. Some will be able to go from planet to planet within their solar system, and that's it. Others will be able to go from one galaxy to another. Others will be able to go anywhere. Which one do you want to be? I've just given you the reality, not religion. It's reality. Or we all see God. Oh, you know how close circuit television is? Like, Lord, in heaven. Oh, yeah. But you see God. And then they can transport you to the earthly Jerusalem where you see God, maybe Feast of Tabernacles or something, and they take you back to your planet. And then there'll be those who will sit with the king. Who administer the government of the universe. And decide, let's create another set of galaxies in this area. Let's do these planets. You think we're just going to be singing choruses forever? You have a very childish idea of heaven. We're going to be fellowshipping with God. It's God and sons. God will be creating through us. The design will come from God. Then we say, okay, let's do this one. You say, okay, what do you think? You know, okay, let's do that. Let's do that. Then there'll be people there. They'll be inhabited. There'll be people with flesh and blood throughout eternity. They are not counted worthy to be a partaker of the glory to come. They will go to heaven. They'll be using the trees of the something for the healing of the nation. A glorified body doesn't need healing. So, Pastor Lupo, why are you telling me this? So you can take the narrow way. It doesn't end here. It will. The way you take is going to determine the type, the order, and the glory of your resurrection. Stop playing games. I'm going to close soon. I know you're all looking at me funny. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I'm able to still on my side. All right. Now, how? Now, put up those confessions. The first one you should put up is self-denial. We're just going to look at it very. This is how it is done. Yes. This is the narrow way. It's narrow. But it can be done. It can be done by one, determination. Two, the grace and the mercy of God that will come upon that determination that will allow you to do self-denial. I preached this on Wednesday. See, the difference between the guy who takes the broad way and the narrow way is the guy who takes the narrow way has made up his mind he will deny himself. So he goes to bed like John Wesley. Goes to bed 10, 11 o'clock. He cannot afford the kind of social life other people have who go to parties and, you know, every you know, all the time, you know, get to bed at 2 a.m. or watch movies until 2 a.m. in the morning. You're not going to wake up with good morning, Jesus. And if you do wake up, you'll be sleeping throughout the prayer. Let me put on my side. So, the narrow way means television will go down. I didn't say television will go out. I said it will go down. See, our brethren have preached it upside down. Television is the devil's box. So it goes out. Mm-mm. It doesn't go out. It goes down. Selective what you watch, when you watch, how much you watch. The same with your social life. It is not everywhere they invite you can go. Go to the one that is necessary for you to go. Because you have to give time for God. That's why it is narrow. I deny myself. Resisting diligently by the Spirit. If you're not opening your mouth, you're in trouble. We will start again from the beginning. You say, Pastor Olubi, how do you know I was not opening your mouth? The Holy Ghost just told me. I deny myself. You see? You see, I was right. What in soon? What in wrong? Yeah? I don't mind them. I deny myself, resisting diligently by the Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, how do you resist by the Spirit? It's not flesh. This is not legalism. The lust of the flesh, especially over talking, say gist must go down. It's a narrow way. Overeating. It's not only pastor, you too will start living fasted life. Let me tell you what fasted life is. It's very simple. They are laughing. Let me tell you. You know what you are doing now? On this 30-day fast, do it for the rest of the year. That's what I do. I've been doing it for years. Ordinarily, I don't eat until past 6. In the morning, I get up, I take, wine or some juice, I take my vitamins, same thing in the afternoon, because I'm praying. Then usually I break around 6-7 o'clock in the evening. That's normal. And I learned it from the Lord Jesus through Kenneth Hagin. He said, instead of trying to fast, long fast, which I still do, I do 3-day fast like we're doing now, and I know, please, I don't want you to get under condemnation. I know not everybody is there yet, so don't feel bad. But just have it as a goal. And with time, your body will train, you will train your body spiritually, and you will get there. I don't need to eat. I might take soup or some fluid thing, but I don't eat solid food usually during the day because I'm praying. And I have a lot of spiritual activities I'm involved in. It's when I finish everything, usually in the evening, or if I'm preaching, if I have something to preach, I don't eat. I just, it's normal with me. Like this Sunday now, today, I'm not going to eat. Of course, we're doing the 1-month fast. But even when we're not doing the 1-month fast, I will not eat until about 8 o'clock in the night. Because we do 3 hours after. I will go home. I will rest a little bit. Then I will pray, read my Bible, and study, Then, some other things. Because I still do some research and work. I might study some things, Then later on, I will eat. It's called living a fasted life. Don't your neighbor say it's narrow. Don't your neighbor. I just got something from the Holy Ghost. Don't your neighbor say, and God will help you. That makes it more palatable. Overeating, oversleeping. You can't sleep 8 hours of your life. I found 5-6 hours is okay. You need those extra 2 hours to pray. That's where the fourth watch comes in. And they all found new research. I think I shared with Dr. Williams. They used to say before that you need 8 hours of sleep. But new research, it was in Time magazine. I said, look at these people. They're just finding out what we knew long, long, long ago. They found out that usually 5 hours is okay. And it will be okay. You know why? Five is God's number for grace. And His grace is sufficient. So that sleep is sufficient. Revelation knowledge. You won't die. The only thing that will die is sin. And the sin nature in your flesh. That's what will die. But you will not die. Overindulgence. In anything, 1 Corinthians 6, which we quoted, to do the will of God, knowing that God gives me all things richly to enjoy in His time. Now, let me talk about that. This narrow way, they tell, there's no enjoyment there. This is where the real enjoyment is. Because if you live it in this narrow life, look at my life. I was in America, or where was I? I was talking to some of my friends, I said, what are you doing in Ibadan? I said, I live a high quality life. Higher quality than you live in San Francisco, wherever you are. High quality.
I live a high, it's true. I live a high quality life. I live very well. I'm living, I'm spending my years in pleasure and my days in prosperity, but not in indulgence. It's true. I live a high quality life, I live a very nice life. But I don't spend it in the flesh. I spend it serving God. Daniel, Joseph. Joseph lived a high quality life, but he spent it looking after his family and taking them from a family to a nation. Daniel lived a high quality life, you know? So this narrow way is not a life of that you will enjoy. You will enjoy, but you will not enjoy the flesh. You will enjoy the spirit. Gives me all things richly to enjoy in his time. See, there are some things God will not give you until you are mature enough. Because if he gives it like Solomon, if he gives it to you too early, you will indulge. That's why it's in his time. So everybody, turn to your neighbor, say, he makes all things beautiful in his time. In this lifetime. So everything knows when you get to heaven alone, you're going to enjoy it here. And also, joy, peace, long-suffering, to endure. See, the fruit of the Spirit. Self-denial. By acknowledging the Lord with thanksgiving in my thinking, for mercy, I didn't hear you, for fullness of joy, and pleasures forevermore in God's presence, to be faithful and to triumph always in self-denial. Give the Lord a clap offering. You can live it. No, not difficult. Can be done. But what it just needs is decision and discipline. And the Holy Spirit will help you. And let me tell you something. You know, what are you looking for in the world? It's death. They're dying every day. They're dying every day. You want to live the sure way for the broad way of destruction because you want to enjoy movie, you want to enjoy gisting, you want to enjoy booga, 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 what the shows you how backslidden I am in the right direction. You know, I went to one of my cousins had a wedding, you know, the other day. So I was seeing one of my cousins, you know, they were talking. So they were singing this song, corner, corner. I said, which one is that one? He said, Pastor, you will not know. It's one guy, his music is all over the world. He says, corner, corner, shake, shake. I'm not missing anything. Young people, let your head be correct. I'm serious. I say it in Yoruba, so it hits you. Are you listening to me? You are not missing anything. They will come and meet you after some years. Look at me. By the grace and the mercy of God, I'm 63. You know, I'm looking. My cousins were saying, how are you looking so young? I said, Ori Ofeolo no. In our language, that means it's the grace of God, mercy of God. You know, yes, and it is the truth. And I don't intend to start looking older. The life of God is in my eyes. It's going to renew my youth like the eagles. When I'm 70, I'm going to look longer than I'm now. When I'm 80, I'm going to, you know, my natural strength will not be abated. Because I'm not indulging in the flesh. You're not missing anything. Don't let anybody fool you. Say, you're missing the narrow way. You can't enjoy. What are they enjoying? Death. I shared testimony with you when my kids were young, you know, Ituno and all of that. I said, don't listen to them. You know, I said, oh, how was our party? You know, I said, oh, we had a great time. So what do you mean? Smoking, drinking, and many times illicit sex. That's what guys, remember? You know, I said, we had a great time. What is it? We smoked, we drank, we had sex. Said that I take them out to go to Dubai and take them to their mother used to take them, you know, more than I did. I asked them, I said, did you have fun? He said, yes. Did you sin? No. Who told you you have to sin to have fun? The devil. You're not missing anything. Give me the next confession. Sexual purity. Vessel of honor. Yes. This is the next one. I'm talking how now. You need to say these things daily. And then pray in tongues. So that the strength and the grace and the power to do it will be given. And you, after a while, your body will be retrained. Your mind will be retrained. Your emotions will be retrained. I'm not trying to be religious. I'm being honest with you. I hate sin. I'm not running away from it because I don't want to do it. I hate it. You know why? I've seen through it. The wages of sin is death. So what do I want to do with it? It's no longer attractive. It used to be attractive when I was younger and when they would try and deceive you and look at that, it's so fine. Oh, if you enjoy it, it's a lie. You taste it, you die. I wish somebody had told that to David. Oh, looking at that little girl. An angel would have just whispered to him, this thing you are looking at is going to cost you 4 sons. And almost your life and your kingship. He would not have touched her. That's why you always, young people, always have it at the back of your mind. This thing that the devil is telling me to do, I won't touch it too, because it is death. Don't go there. I'm not talking to anybody here. How many people still love me? Good. I'm a vessel of honor. Everybody open your mouth. Some people have closed their mouth again. I'm a vessel of honor. You see? Sanctified. Meet for the master's use. Prepared unto every good work. So I abstain from every... So abstain from all sexual impurity. In thought, in word, in deed. Watch the movies you watch. Don't go near pornography. Anything that is sexually suggestive. Everybody say suggestive. It may not be blatant. But Satan will use it. And I've said this before. I'm going to go there. I normally would not want to go there. But I promise you, I will not stay there for very long. But I will go there and then I will come out. Let's continue. From all sexual impurity, in thought, word and deed, by fullness of joy, and blessed forevermore in the presence of God. This is the one we're going to go to. I dress decently and calmly to the glory of God, both men and women. But I'm going to go on the women, because the Bible does on the women. Talk about the attire of a harlot. It's a narrow way. Anything that's exposing your breasts, don't wear it. Exposing your thigh. You will see some of those dresses, they will cut it. The thing will slit. Pastor Wega. The thing will slit up to here. So when she walks like that, the whole thing will open. Are you inviting them? That's the truth. You're a child of God. Ask yourself an honest question. This thing I'm wearing, is it decent? Will it bring glory to God? If you won't, take it off. If you still have them in your cupboard, go and burn them. I didn't say give them away. Because you don't want any person worrying that. Yes, I did it when I was a young Christian. Not with clothes. I had this stack of records. I've given you testimony before. Pastor Wega used to have, all the top jazz and, guy. I remember Carlos Santana. I had a album called Black Magic Woman. These were the things that were raining in the 70s. I bought this big sound system and everything. Then I got saved. Thank God I got saved. Then I got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Then one day, the Holy Ghost told me, he said, go and throw it. He said, don't give it away. He said, go and throw it away. Ah, I said, God, that thing costs a lot of money. God said, I know. He said, but it will poison you. You can't continue to listen to that kind of music. It was I was 21. 20. You know? I obeyed him. It was not easy, but I did it. So I got all those records. I must have cost, back in those days, I'm looking at maybe about 100 albums. Pastor G, what was that back in those days? That's maybe at least maybe 200-300 pounds. Talking about sterling. It was in London. So I wrapped it in this thing. I didn't tell a lot of people what I was doing, though. So they won't know. Then in our hostel, you know, there's a place where you dump the trash. Do you understand? You know, so I wrapped it with a paper bag so they'll just think it's trash. It was trash. Put it in the truth. And I went to now get nice Christian music. David Ingalls. Evie. Yes. And then substituted that for what I was listening to. I didn't miss anything. I still had good music. All I changed was the spirit behind the music. Give a lot of clap offering. Change it. It's the spirit behind the music. And even the movies. There's a spirit behind those things. They don't, daddy, you know, it's too strict, you know. It's just a nice movie. It's not just a nice movie, it's the devil. Masquerading behind the movie. And if that thing keeps going into your heart, you'll find that you get less and less interest in the word of God. I heard somebody say, I don't know whether it was John Wesley or I think it was John Wesley. You know? Prayer and the word will keep you away from sin. And sin will keep you away from prayer and the word. Check your life. Which is prevailing? The more you pray and the more you walk with God, you find you want to get rid of sin. The less you pray, you find that sin has more of an inroad. Everybody says, it's a narrow way, oh. And God will help me, oh. I will not die, oh. I'm going to close now. Address decently and come to the glory of God. Where's it? There's a part of her. I flee fornication. I would say flee. Joseph didn't try to bind the devil. When a woman came to him and studied the Potiphar's wife, and you know, he said he left his dress and fled. Oh, Jakba. That's the real Jakba. You know, flee! Don't even go near it. When anything that looks like it, it helped me as a young man. After I got born again, I can honestly say, I've never slept with another woman except my wife. I've not allowed myself to get. It's not because I'm better than other people. I keep saying that thing. It's because by the mercy and the grace of God, you know, I did this thing. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I don't allow myself to be. I learned from Billy Graham and Gordon Lindsay. I first heard it from Gordon Lindsay. And years later, I heard Billy Graham say the same thing. Don't stay alone in the room with a woman who is not your wife. I made it the law of the Medes and Persians that, you know, in a compromising situation. So I just two simple rules, you know. When we travel, I always travel with one of my pastors. Or even when I travel alone now, you know, because sometimes, you know, because of visa and all of that, nobody may be able to go with me when I'm going to some places. But even then, you know, I'm very careful. You know, I stay in my room. I don't, you know, don't let anybody. I don't, you know, like one time when Kano, Pastor Boy guys remembering, this is 1991. It was during the Gulf War. The satellite had just come out that time. We were watching the Gulf War. So we stayed in one nice hotel, went to preach for Kola. Ewosho in Kano. So he put on a nice hotel, you know. So myself, Pastor Boyega, I can't remember who else was there, you know, but three or four of us pastors. We got to this stupid hotel, you know, and we got up to where our rooms, and there were just women on the on the corridor. They say it's part of the room service. I said, "Hello, Majarinko Bluku." We just laughed over it. Then we called them down and said they should get rid of them, you know, which they did, you know. You know, but you know, these are the things that come in life. But just the simple rules. Simple rules. Flee fornication. Abstain from all appearances of evil. If you're with a woman who is not your wife, I'm going to add something from the Holy Ghost. Not your wife yet. It's tight. Some people are looking at me and say, "This pastor, self." I'm going there. I'm going to match their leg now. Amen. We know your wife yet. Don't be alone in a room praying. That's not waiting on the Lord. It's waiting on the flesh. You're going to get into trouble. The devil will see to that. You say you want to pray. Come to church. Go to the children's church there. During the week, this place is open. You can come and pray. The cleaners are around. Nobody will disturb you. You can stay in that corner there, the two of you. It's one chair here, one chair there. You are praying. You are waiting on the Lord. Very narrow. But it will lead to eternal life. It's narrow. But it won't disturb your prayer. And you still have your privacy. You share your prayer points. You can share the Bible. But it's in an open place. So you can't do nonsense. You don't say, go to your room and say you are waiting on the Lord. Waiting nonsense. All the young people are looking at me. So what kind of preacher is this? The preacher that will give you life. Those were the simple rules I obeyed. And God's kept me 43 years by the grace and the mercy of God. Doesn't mean I wasn't tempted like every other person. You know, the Bible says, even Jesus, the Bible says he was tempted in every way like us. Yeah. So it wasn't that the thoughts will not come to your mind. Like when it comes, you pull it down. So I love, if you thought about it, a woman comes to your mind, I'll teach you this and I'm closing. Just say to yourself, say, I love her like Jesus loves her. That thing defeats the devil. Say, look at this fine woman or fine girl. You know, say, yes, I love her as Jesus loves her. I ask life for her. that did not destroy all the temptation. The devil don't carry his load and he goes away. They pray in tongues. You know, I love her as Christ loves her. I ask life for her. You know, so all your thoughts become pure. The narrow way. It will lead to life and a great resurrection. Stand to your feet. I don't know if I've helped you this afternoon. I wish somebody had told me this when I was 16 years old. If they preached it like this to me when I was 16, I would have gotten born again. But they didn't preach it like this. They all said, the television is the devil's box. I said, how can I stop watching television for God's sake? You know, that's not what we're preaching. We're not preaching legalism. We're preaching self-denial. Big difference. So I have the television there, but I know when to switch it off. And I know when to switch it on. Then I know the channel to switch it to and the channel not to switch it on. Am I helping you? Let's talk to God. There's a song we haven't sung it in a long time. When I was preparing this morning, he said, that's the song you will sing today. Some of the younger ones may not even know because it's been a long time we sang it. You are the Holy One. You are God's chosen Son.
You are the Holy One. You are God's chosen Son.
Your righteousness is pure.
We are complete.
We are complete in you.
When we submit,
as we submit to truth,
Your judgments,
they are sure.
We desire.
That we might be victorious
in you. You are the Holy One.
Your righteousness is pure.
We are complete
when we submit to truth.
Your judgments,
they are sure.
Your heart, raise your other hand to God. A consecration 2023. This 2023, I'm walking the narrow way. If you've walked in the broad way before, get off it. Or you've been walking in the broad way, get off it. It leads to destruction, which is two interpretations. I didn't say that. One could be hellfire, that's extreme. The other one is premature physical death. So I deliver them unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Christ. You don't want that in your life. But that's what the Broadway will bring. You'll either bring premature physical death and loss of eternal reward, or in extreme cases, it will lead to going to hell. Don't go the Broadway. Change course now. And I don't care how old you are, whether you are 10, 15, 20, 40, 60, 80, or 100. You can change. Talk to God. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the narrow way of life that you have revealed to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and your word. Father, I repent where I have tried to take the broad way, the way of self-indulgence, the way of a lack of discipline. I repent. I receive mercy unto eternal life. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, fresh life and power into my spirit as we pray. Father, I determine in my heart to take and stay on the narrow way of self-denial, the narrow way of self-discipline by your mercy and grace, the narrow way of spiritual excellence, so that I will run and obtain the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I will be temperate in all things. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. I will only choose things that are expedient. I will not do what I can do, which is lawful, but not expedient. I will take and stay on this narrow way by your mercy and grace. From now onwards, 2023 and onwards, in Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord Holy Ghost, thank you. Thank you for your blood. Your life. Raman doske fridi. Your power. In and upon our wills, la prikito fridingas, our minds, la prikito fridingi tushke fres, our emotions, nikito fridile mitu frides, our physical bodies, renech to fride, lambrito fres, our circumstances, liprikito lomatu frishe, our regional heavenlies, la prikito fridesk, lambrito fridis, lambrea, insufficient measure, nehika, rico fredela, lambrito lomosho. Insufficient measure. Negr tu fride la mash tu frish. In Jesus' name. For those who may have just been joining us online, maybe you are not here for the Bible study. You need healing for your body. God wants your body strong and healthy so you can serve Him. You can pray. You can lay hands on the sick. You can go on missionary trips. You can do all the things that will, you know, make money that you put into the gospel. If you are sick, you can't serve God properly as you should. You know, and if you're old and infirm, I pray that, you know, God will strengthen you to pray like Anna and Simeon. I don't care whether you're 65 like Enoch, whether you're 75 like Abraham, whether you're 80 like Moses, doesn't matter. If you decide, God will help you. He will renew your strength like the eagles, so you can spend the rest of your days in service to God. Serving God night and day with fasting and prayers, not departing from the temple, and the Lord will make you see His glory before you die. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you need healing, if you're watching, just stretch forth your hands towards your device. For those at home, we prayed for those in the morning for during the Bible study, or if maybe you just came into church later on, just stretch your hands. Father, we come to pray for all those who's stretching their hands now. Thank you for your word. You sent your word and healed them. And you delivered them from their destructions. We release the healing power in your word into their physical bodies now to effect a healing and a cure in Jesus' name. We come against the spirits of infirmity, the spirits of fear, of doubt, of oppression, of depression. We cast you out from their souls and bodies. Destroy your works therein. Resist, and we bind you in Jesus' name. We loose the angels of God, the seven spirits of God, to minister unto them health and healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. We're now going to close the service. We're going to share the grace in fellowship, as has been announced. We're doing our fasting and prayer, this 1 month fasting. So please, you don't eat. You can take fluids, you know, maybe a bottle of Fanta or Coke or something. Just have some sugar in your system. When you get home, just rest a little bit, pray, read your Bible, join the prayers at 5 o'clock and 5 to 6, and after 6 you can break your fast. So we'll now share the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life of God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you take and stay on the narrow way of life. And so you have no bones broken. In Jesus' name, amen.